All right, well, we are actually entering into a period of our church, or I guess a season of our church. For those of us who are familiar, really the strategy of our church is we gather together as the community of faith. So whether it's in large groups like this on Sunday celebration or in smaller gatherings throughout the week on Tuesdays and Wednesdays on our campus, in our city. And as we grow, gather together, we want to grow, that we want to commit ourselves in learning and growing through the Word of God, that we want to encourage one another, and then as we grow, that we want to go to share the love of Christ with those around us. And we're entering into a season of, as we continue to gather and as we continue to go, that we want to emphasize the growth aspect of it. And that's why we're going into the retreat for our college students. Pastor Pete from our church in Michigan will be coming and speaking to us. That's why we're going to be offering our Alive class. Another class that I want to personally offer, I'm going to make a call here, is for those of us who have taken a live class in the past, I want to offer a class revolving around experiencing God, really knowing and understanding God's will and purpose for our lives. And so it's going to be a season of going into just various classes to learn and to grow and to mature as a disciple. And then right after our undergrad retreat, our Access retreat, we're going to be entering into our Missions Month, where we focus on really God's heart for the world. And so it really is the season of continuing to grow together. And I think it's really emphasizing really the theme for us. The mission that God has given us as a church is to transform lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. And so it's this theme of being together on His mission for our lives. And so that actually comes from 1 Peter 2:9 through 10, where Peter tells us, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And so we've been honing in on these two verses for the last few weeks, really trying to flush out this year's theme of together on mission. And so if you remember, the context of 1 Peter is that Peter is writing to encourage Christians who are spread all throughout Asia Minor as they are facing persecution for their faith in Christ. And so Peter reminds them that yes, even though they are suffering, and yes, even though circumstances might look grim, that there's a greater purpose, that even in the midst of suffering, that God is pointing them towards. And so we've been talking about these three elements in order for us to understand this theme of together on mission. That grasping this greater purpose that God has for us, it really starts, first of all, by remembering our identity, remembering who you are. And that's why Peter reminds them that even in the midst of their suffering, Peter says, hey, remember that you are a chosen race, that you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, a people of His own possessions. Their identity that really reveals God's purpose for them and reminds them ultimately of the mercies that they have received from God. And the mercies of God that will continue to be demonstrated over their lives. And even as Peter reminds them of their identity, Peter also reminds them of this gospel-centered partnership. That as the people of God, that we're reminded of this partnership that is being forged through our commitment to the Great Commission, as Jesus has called us to go and to make disciples of all nations, and to our mutual sanctification, that we actually become the tools in each other's lives, where God uses us to sanctify or to make us holy, to set us apart, so that we're reflecting more and more of the image of who Christ is. And if you were here last Sunday when Pastor Seth, our pastor from our Hong Kong church, was visiting, one of the things that he reminded us over and over again is the grace of God that is at work in making us more like Christ. And lastly, Peter reminds them that God's purpose in what they are experiencing, that even though it might be difficult to understand, but God has a purpose. And that purpose is that even in the midst of their sufferings, that they may what? Proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See, when you are experiencing difficulties, and I think many of us can testify to this, whether it's in our workplace and there's just a lot on our plate, there's deadlines to meet, there's coworkers that we need to contend with. Sorry, maybe contend is a bad word for it, right? Coworkers that we need to work together with. For those of us who are students, you know, when we're going into midterms, which seems like there's midterms every week, right? Or finals. When things are busy, it's really easy for us to withdraw. And that's not to say that we shouldn't focus on our responsibility and learning to be faithful what God has entrusted into our care. But Peter challenges them not to withdraw, but to continue to engage with one another and ultimately with the greater culture by proclaiming the excellencies of God. In the New Living Translation, it says, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Peter says, continue to show others the goodness of God. Turn to your neighbor and remind them, show others the goodness of God. In the NIV, it says that you may declare the praises of him. And for those of us who like the Message translation, it says, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. Right? Isn't that awesome to think about? Regardless of what we go through, God makes a difference where that difference looks like night and day. And so continue to remind ourselves of the work that God is doing and continue to declare that. And so Peter says, listen, I know that it's natural for y'all to want to withdraw and to pull back and maybe to lick your wounds. But that's not what you were called into. You are not called into the business of shrinking back, right? When you're 30 and zero, you don't want to shrink back. You want to continue to score touchdowns. You want to continue to hook them horns, right? You want to continue to walk in the victory. Peter reminds them, and he reminds us this morning, that we have been called into the business of showing others the goodness of God, the purpose of declaring the praises of God, proclaiming the excellencies of him. Think about that, the excellencies of who God is, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so Peter is reminding them that even though the world is casting its shadow of persecution, its darkness over you, he says that God is shining his light not only on you, but he is working to shine his light through you. And the light of God will overcome the darkness of the world. And so this is what we're going to do today as we close out our series and talking about today's theme. So we're going to talk about this last element together on mission, our engagement, by looking at Jesus' example. And I promise that we're going to go through this fairly quickly. And then we're going to talk about some goals that we want to aim for as a church. And then after that, we want to have a time where we can think about how do we respond then to what God is doing, how he's leading us as a church, and how can we take ownership of the direction that he is guiding us. Because it's not just about me telling us, hey, this is where we're going, but it's the people of God as we come together and as we are submitted under the authority of Christ in our church, that we as his people, that we're able to discern together to say, this is where Jesus is taking us. And we want to respond to that. And so Jesus' exhortation for our engagement, we find this in Matthew 9. And so if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to the book of Matthew. This is a familiar passage, I believe, for many of us. But hopefully it'll be an encouragement once again to us. Matthew 9, starting from verse 36. Well, actually, we'll start from 35. I think that gives us a better context. And go all the way down to 38. Matthew 9, 35, and then 38. I don't have 35 in this, but you guys can read along. It says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so as we look into Jesus' encouragement and his exhortation for us, the one thing that I want to give us this morning simply is this, that we must be willing to engage in God's mission. That all of us, that we must be willing to engage in God's mission. Now, I know that usually we have two observations, but we're going to make four. So before we start talking, don't get a heart attack. I'm going to go through this fairly quick. This is going to be fairly short. But really, I want to make four observations about our engagement. four observations about our engagement from what Jesus is telling us here. And the first observation is this, that we must be willing to see the lostness of people. We must be willing to see the lostness of people. And look at verse 36. It tells us when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so just imagine Jesus going through the towns and cities and healing people of their sickness. Right? Healthcare back then, not the greatest. And so all these people who are afflicted with disease, all these people who are afflicted with just evil spirits at work in their lives, Jesus comes and he drives out these evil spirits and he brings about physical healing. But as he looks out into the crowd, more than just the physical needs, and that's not to say that Jesus doesn't care about our physical needs. That's not to say that he doesn't care about our emotional needs. Yes, he does. He is the great physician, that he comes to bring about restoration in every area of our lives. But what we notice is that Jesus has compassion for them. Why? Because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. We know anything about sheep. I don't know if you guys know things about sheep. But if you know anything about a sheep, they're lost without a shepherd. In other words, Jesus had compassion on them because he saw their lostness. And so the first challenge is that in order for us to engage in this mission, that we have to be willing to see the lostness of people. Do we see the lostness of those who are around us as we go into work, as we go into our classrooms? Do we see that without Christ, that they are like sheep without a shepherd? And yes, they might be content in grazing, but ultimately they're lost. There isn't the sense of this is where I'm headed. Because the Word of God makes it very clear that apart from Christ, that we are lost in being able to reconnect to our Creator and our Maker. That apart from Christ, that we are lost to the salvation that God offers us through Jesus' death and resurrection. That apart from Christ, that we are lost to the redemption from our fallenness and our brokenness. Paul tells us in Romans 3:23-24, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." He says all of us have fallen short. He doesn't say just people who are outside the church. No, even us here, that apart from Christ, that we have fallen short. But the reason that we're able to know and to worship God is because of God's grace that has been revealed to us through Christ. And Jesus, when he saw the crowd, what he saw was their lostness. So the challenge is, do we see the lostness of people? So we must be willing to see the lostness of people. Second observation is, as we see the lostness of people, we must be willing to respond to the urgency of God. We must be willing to respond to the urgency of God. And we see this in verse 37. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" In the New Living Translation, it says, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." See, the problem is not with the harvest. The problem is not because people, they're just not interested in Christianity or they don't want anything to do with Jesus. The problem is not with the harvest. But Jesus says it's the workers who are few. It's the laborers who are few. See, Jesus equates the harvest with those who are lost, who are separated from God, who do not know God. And so he says the harvest is plenty. There are plenty of people on our campus, in our city, who need to hear that God loved them enough to provide a way for them so that they can be reconnected to God. But the problem, he says, is with the laborers. The laborers are few. Jesus says that there are not enough of God's people who are willing to labor amongst the harvest. Because the reality is that we live amongst the harvest, like every single day, unless we become hermits and cut ourselves off from the rest of the world. We can't function without relating to the harvest. And all of us, we constantly relate to the harvest. So the problem isn't that we are not living amongst those who are lost. But the problem is that even as we live amongst the harvest, that we don't necessarily see ourselves as God's laborers. We might see ourselves as something or someone else. Maybe we see ourselves as a successful student or an ambitious entrepreneur or a thrill seeker. Or you fill in the blank. But we don't necessarily see ourselves as laborers for God's kingdom. And so Jesus, he's not just making a casual observation, but we have to hear the urgency. Because he tells us to pray earnestly. Another time when he encounters the woman at the well, and when she finally discovers who Jesus is, and she is so excited that she goes back to tell others in her village about Jesus, and as they are coming to him, this is what we see Jesus declare in John 4:35. He says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest?" But he says, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." He says, the time to engage in God's labor is now. It's not after you get that freshman year under your belt. It's not after you finally figure out what your major is going to be. It's not after you establish your career. It's not after you go through the season of trial. It's not after when you have certain answers for your life. But Jesus says, no, the season is now. Peter reminds his brothers and sisters. And just think about what these Christians are going through. Very unfavorable circumstances. They're not looked upon highly by the surrounding culture. They're being marginalized, ridiculed, persecuted. But Peter reminds them, no, the time is now. That this is the opportunity. That even as we are being persecuted, that we continue to declare and continue to demonstrate and continue to show the goodness of God. He says the time to proclaim God's excellencies is now. So we must be willing to respond to God's urgency. But not only that, we must be willing, number three, to pray for God's sending. We must be willing to pray for God's sending, right? In verse 38, look at what Jesus says. He says, "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus says, pray earnestly. The word earnestly there literally means to plead, to beg. It's not just, you know what, whenever you have time, pray. Have you ever begged for something? Have you ever pleaded for something because you wanted it so bad? I think I've told this story before. I grew up in Minnesota, and so I learned to ski when I was in elementary school. But every time I went, I had to rent my skis, and that was okay. But, you know, I think part of me was looking at my friends, and they all had their skis, and I didn't have one, and I really wanted one. And so I used to beg my parents, "Mom, Dad, can I have my own skis?" And they would always say, "You know what? Eventually, you're going to have to grow out of it. You're going to grow out of it because you're going to get taller, and you're going to need new ones, so no." And so I used to just, every season, ski season came around, I used to beg. Plead with them. "Oh, if I could only have my," like go into lamentation, "if I could only have my own skis." And finally they caved in, gave me my own skis. I was like, yes, it worked, right? It paid off. Persistence in begging. But this is what Jesus is encouraging us with. He says, pray earnestly. It's not just one time when we go to church. When we have our prayer gatherings, oh, okay, so I need to pray. No, he says, pray consistently and earnestly, begging God for what? To send workers into the harvest field. And it's, we can't miss this. It's not just sending workers into the harvest field. But he says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. That even as we look out into the harvest field, even as we look out into our campus and our city, we have to realize that even if people do not acknowledge God, God is still Lord. God still reigns and rules over this place. And so it's not just hoping that, oh, I don't know, is it going to work? Is it not going to work when we share the gospel? Are people really going to come to know Christ? No, no. Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. That God is in charge. And then he says to send out laborers into, once again, his harvest. That even as we pray, we know that God will be sovereign over the work that he has called us to accomplish. And so Jesus says, pray for the sending of God's people into the harvest. And then last observation is that we must be willing to submit to God's calling. That we must be willing to submit to God's calling. Because right after this, Jesus, he selects the 12 apostles. And then as he selects the 12 apostles, he sends them out. In verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them. So he gives them specific instructions. And so it's interesting when he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, and then he sends them out. So as we pray, guess what? God's going to send us out because we are part of the laborers who have the privilege of making Christ known. That if you're willing to pray, God, send out laborers into your harvest, then you must be willing to submit to God, who will send you out amongst his harvest. Right? One of the things that we've been talking about, and I'll share a little bit more as we progress, but our time here at UACC is slowly coming to an end. UACC has been very gracious in allowing us to use this space. Because of certain things that they're going through, we're in the process of looking for another location for us to meet together for our Sundays. And there's a couple of options for us that we're praying through, right? But even as we've been discussing amongst the leadership of just a place that we can go, to continue to worship, to continue to engage in the mission of Christ. So on one hand, we want to be faithful, and we want to be people who think, use logic, right? Use reasoning in thinking about the place, thinking about our mission to reach lost people, our heart for the campus, our vision of reaching the campus to reach the city. So we're not just a campus church. We're not just a community church. But we're a church that desires to reach the campus so that ultimately as we reach college students and as you guys study and graduate, that some of you that we can send out into the city of Austin. And so we've been thinking strategically about where do we go and what doors is God opening for us. But on the other hand, as we've been talking about that, ultimately we come to this realization that ultimately, it's really not going to be the location. Because the problem with God is never the location. God is not limited to when and where we meet. And I know that because in the book of Acts, when God brought about persecution in the early church, and as the church began to spread out, that's how the church began to grow. And so it's never the circumstances of where we meet, when we meet. But the problem is really the hearts of God's people who are willing to engage in his mission. And so God works. Because the transformation that he desires to bring about on our campus and in our city is really the transformation that we need to experience in our hearts. So Jesus says, even as I am transforming you, that I send you to be instruments in my hand to bring about renewal and transformation in the lives of others. And so we must be willing to submit to God's calling as he sends us out as laborers. And so laboring, it looks like spending time with people, right? It looks like sharing our testimony of what God has and is doing in our lives. It looks like sharing the reality of Christ with them as we share the gospel with them. It looks like praying for them. It looks like investing into the community of God's people. It looks like stepping in to meet their needs and maybe being the resource that God will use to encourage them and to bless them. And in all this, I think Jesus reminds us over and over again that we must be willing to embrace being made uncomfortable. Because the context of what Jesus is saying in John 4, when he says the harvest is ready, his disciples were very uncomfortable because they're dealing with Samaritans, people that they saw as a group of people who are less than humans. But Jesus says being a laborer, it means that you have to be okay with being uncomfortable. And it's never easy. I think especially in the culture that we live in, it's about being comfortable. It's about being safe, feeling safe. But the cost of making Christ known is our willingness to be made uncomfortable. And I don't know if I want to say that that's really one of our values. Like, our value as a church isn't to make people uncomfortable as they come, right? But one of our values is really to challenge people in their assumptions of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And so that's why when people come and they see me, and I'm an Asian American, they ask me, oh, is this an Asian church? And I say, no, it's a church for people who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because we meet next to the campus, they'll say, oh, is this a college church? No, it's a church, once again, that desires to reach all people. Because it's not just students who need to hear the gospel, but it's our working folks, it's the married couples. And so we want to be a church that we want to be a church that raises up people who are willing to be uncomfortable as they engage in other cultures. Like, we often talk about being a transcultural church, and that concept comes from missionary kids. When they come from one culture, they go to another culture, and, you know, as they grow up, it's like, that culture that I came from, that's really not my culture, but then this culture that I've grown up in, that's really not, and so they feel like they're just caught in between where they can go from one to the next, and they're comfortable in that. And so we want to continue to challenge people to step outside of your comfort zones and to engage with people who are from a completely different culture. You grew up in Texas, you see some people who are from Oklahoma, and so we take pity on them and we reach out to them. That means that we have to be willing to be made uncomfortable. So engagement, it means that we have to be willing to see the lostness of those who do not know Christ. It means that we have to be willing to respond to God's urgency for the harvest. It means that we have to be willing to pray for God's sending. It means that we have to be willing to submit to God's calling. So what does Together on Mission, what does that mean for us as a church for this specific season of our lives? And so I broke this up into goals for three specific areas, right? Usually as a church, if you guys know me a little bit, not really good at setting goals. I think part of the reason is in many ways I'm a little bit of a free spirit. And so I don't necessarily want to be tied to, like, sometimes it just seems arbitrary of, let's set this goal or that goal, and we want to flow in the Spirit. But some people said, well, Pastor, that's great, but we need things to be aiming for so that we can know as a church that this is where we're headed. And so I broke it up into three specific areas: the life of the church, the mission of the church, and the future of the church. First of all, the life of the church. And so if you consider this church to be your local church, right, for however long, you're going to be here for 6 months, if you're going to be here for 60 years, for however long, if this is your local church, then we want to encourage you, become a covenant signing member, right? Any church, we pray that you will become part of, in that local church, that you will become a covenant signing member of that church, and however that local church expresses that. Participate fully in the life of the church. We want people involved, not only just coming, but actually realizing that they are part of the body of Christ and they are gifted to build up the local church. And so be involved in building up the local church, which means be a witness. Advance the testimony of the church. It means serve. Also participate in the life of the church by participating in our, so there's two classes that are core to our church that we want everyone to go through. First is our Alive class, what it means to be a disciple, people who are abiding in Christ, living by faith, imitating Jesus, really value God's kingdom and are equipped to make other disciples. And then we have our Engage class, where we try to equip you, challenge you to think about what it means to engage with others who do not know Christ. And I know that just because you take these classes doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be radically transformed, but hopefully this will be a catalyst for you to really think about what it means to be a disciple who is faithfully engaging in the mission of Christ through, for those of you who are students, your studies, where that becomes an avenue for you to testify to the reality of who Christ is for those of us who are working through our workplaces. And then actively be praying for the testimony of the church. So life of the church. Second, mission of the church. Consistently engage with unchurched peoples. And as we go into our missions month, one of the things that I want to reemphasize is really the various people groups that I believe that God has called us to minister to. And think about the unchurched people who might have grown up in the church, but they no longer associate themselves with a local church. Consistently engage in with the unchurched in our lives as we share the love of Christ with them. And so that might look like just consistently building the relationship with them. That might look like proactively inviting them out to experience God through the community of faith. That might look like you sharing with them what God is doing in your lives. Right? One of the things that I started to do when I was working before I went to seminary and all that stuff. You know, usually on Mondays when you go back to the office, people are like, hey, how was your weekend, right? And what do you say? Fine. Good. How was yours? Excellent. And you go back to your workplace. What does that mean? Doesn't really mean anything. And so one of the things that I try to do every Monday when I went back to my workplace, when people would ask me, hey, Ben, how was your weekend? I would try to give them like one snippet of what I learned. And so I would say something like, oh, it was great. I learned at church that, you know, God is generous in dealing with us or something like that. So consistently engage with unchurched people in our lives as we share the love of Christ with them. Share the gospel. One of my goals as a pastor is to encourage you, equip you, challenge you, at times prod you, push you, pray for you, that you will actively share the gospel with your one. If you remember a couple years ago, we had a campaign of who is your one, right? That one person that you want to invest in building that relationship and really asking God to, God, give me the opportunity beyond, yes, friendship, beyond just being a blessing to them, that I want to verbally share the gospel. Because the reality is, they need to see the gospel being lived out in our lives, which is great, but they also need to hear what the gospel is and share the gospel with them. So the mission of the church, and then lastly, the future of the church. And we want people to commit to discipling the next generation of God's laborers. I think really one of the blessings that we have of being a church that's right next to the campus, it's about 50% now, but in the past it used to be a majority of our members being college students, is that we have the opportunity every single year to equip and to raise up the next generation of disciples. But then as we've been talking, believe it or not, at the end of this year is our 15th year as a church. And so we've had so many opportunities and wonderful experiences of raising up that next generation. But one of the challenges is that even though we've been around for 15 years, we're perpetually a young church because we have so many people coming in and consistently being sent out, which is great because that's one of the visions that we have, that we want to be a church that sends people out. But at the same time, that's actually one of the challenges because we have so many people who are constantly being sent out, especially even within our leadership. And so one of the things that I'm praying for as we slowly come to that 15-year mark and as we look towards the next 15 years of our church life, one of the things that I want to encourage our church to pray for is really this long-term partnership, that we need people to see Austin as their missions field, and we need people to understand that this is your local church and that God has given you a unique calling to send people out, to raise people up, and to provide that leadership for the church. The future of the church, we need people who are committed to discipling the next generation of God's labor. So what does this mean? It means, first of all, for the life of the church, we're aiming for 80% engagement, right? So which means everyone who comes to our church on a regular basis, and I know that I was thinking initially 100% engagement, perhaps it's my lack of faith. But I know that there's always going to be people who are going to come and who are going to go and who might not be consistent. And, you know, we want to be a church that welcomes all as we continue to share the gospel with them and challenge them and build them up. But we want 80% of people who consider this as their spiritual home to actively participate and engage in the life of the church, which means that if you're not a covenant-signing member, that you're going to become a covenant-signing member. That if you're not actively involved in ministry teams, that you're going to start serving. That means that you're going to participate in things like, I want to take a live class. I want to take engage class so that I can be a disciple who engages in evangelism. That I want to commit to participating in the life of the church consistently so that when I come on Sundays, it's not just about me coming and checking off that box of, okay, I went to church. But realizing that, man, God has a very unique role for me so that when I come, that God's going to use me to encourage those around me, that God's going to use me to be a blessing to the people of God, that God's going to use me to equip my other brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can go forth in this partnership of reaching the lost. And so 80% engagement, mission of the church, we want to see 10 new believers being baptized as a church. So we have 5 life groups that meet consistently, which means that within our life groups, we want to partner together as we share the gospel. And yes, it's our responsibility to share the gospel. In terms of how God moves in the hearts of the people that we share the gospel with, we leave that up to God. But we're going to believe by faith that as we consistently share the gospel, that God is going to open up their hearts. Because the reality is that whenever I think about, man, you know, because some people, you know, like trying to build relationships with them, trying to reach out to them, and you're just thinking to yourself, man, this is impossible. Like, how is God going to work? And all you have to do is just look in the mirror and realize, man, the work that God did in my life, that was impossible. Because I didn't come to know Christ because somehow I'm a better person, I'm a better listener. Like, I was more desperate, more hungry. No. Paul makes it very clear that there was none of us who were seeking after God. But God in his grace met us and did that work of transforming our hearts and our lives, that we would come to know Christ. And if God did that work in our lives, then why would God not be able to do that work in the lives of those that we are spending time with? And so 10 baptism of new believers in the future of the church, I'm praying 30 long-term partners. Okay. 30 people in our church who can say that, you know what, I'm willing to put my roots down here. I'm willing to be used of God, to be that older people in the church, right? Because that's what we're missing. But someone has to pave the way. Even as we really strive to be a multi-generational church. And the reality is that it's going to be costly. When Jesus says, unless that kernel of wheat falls and dies, it's going to stay that kernel. But when it falls and dies, it's going to multiply. And I'm looking for, we're praying for people who are willing to say, God, as I commit to the local church, that I want my life to multiply so that I can continue to be used of you to produce others, to raise up other disciples who will faithfully be sent out and really engaging with us in that process of discipling the next generation and sending out workers. And so this is what we're going to be praying for. This is what we're going to be laboring together in. This is what we're going to be encouraging all of us in and believing by faith that God is going to do the work, right? Even as we've been talking about Sunday location and all that stuff, you know, one of the things that comforts me all the time is this realization that God has always provided for our church. I know that we're a smaller church, and half of us are college students, but we've never gone through a season where even financially, that we've fallen behind in what we needed as a church to operate. God has always provided for us. We've gone through so many seasons where when God closes one door, and as we begin to pray, God, open up doors and opportunities, God has always opened up those doors and opportunities. And I believe that this is a season for us to continue to walk forward in that faith. And in many ways, It's not that one season is coming to a close and another season is beginning. But I just feel like at the end of this 15th year, when I think about that first year, when a handful of us came down from the University of Michigan campus, from our HMCC of Ann Arbor Church, with the vision of planting a church here and transforming the lives of students and reaching the campus so that we can reach the city, I just feel like it's another season of God calling up individuals to say, I want to commit in being used of God to continue to advance the testimony of His church and the purpose that God has for us in transforming lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. So how do we respond? Gospel living. Well, we have a response form, and I think we have a QR code. You can point your phone to it, and I actually want to go through this together. There's a couple ways for us to respond. Okay. First response is, it says, I am a covenant-signing member, and I want to recommit as a covenant-signing member of our local church. And for those of us who are covenant-signing members, and this is something that we're going to bake in going forward, at the end of every yearly theme that we present, for those of us who are covenant-signing members, we want you to recommit to being a covenant-signing member, which means that we're not just a participant in the local church, but we're an active member of advancing the mission and the purpose of the church. So the first way, especially for those who are covenant-signing members, to respond is to recommit as a covenant-signing member. Secondly, I will actively engage with people, my one, who is that one person that God is calling you to invest into and to share the gospel with, who do not know Christ as, first of all, commit to praying consistently for them. Second, commit to sharing my testimony with them on a regular basis. And third, commit to sharing the gospel with them by the end of the season of ministry. That you want to commit to actively engaging with people in your life who do not know who Christ is. And number three, I will make every effort to actively participate in the life of the church by, first of all, actively praying for the witness of the church, that we will continue to be salt and light, be intentionally investing into the lives of others in the church, that we're not just going to come to be a participant, but we're going to come to be an active member and seek consistently participate in the weekly rhythm of the church. And then last, number four, I will commit to maturing as a disciple who is alive, abiding in Christ, living by faith, imitating Jesus, value God's kingdom, equipped to make disciples, and I will ask others to intentionally help me in my maturity as a disciple, that I want to intentionally enter into a discipleship relationship with others, that I want to surround myself with others who are going to encourage me, who are going to keep me accountable, and that we're going to partner together in this journey with Christ. And then the last is others. If you feel like there's other specific convictions that God places in your heart, then we want you to fill them out. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, before we go into communion and close out our time together, we want you to think about this theme of together on mission. Like, what is the conviction that God is placing in your heart? So that it becomes more than just a slogan. It becomes more than just, okay, these are the numbers, 80%, 10, 30. But it becomes about how is the Word of God working in my life to bring about his convictions? And how is the Holy Spirit of God ordaining my steps? And what is the role that I will play? Because God has called me to be part of this local church. How will I advance God's kingdom as we come together on his mission? And so we want to give us a moment to respond, and if when you respond, please write out your name and your life group. After you respond, we're going to forward this to your life group leaders so that they will continue to encourage you in this, so that we can continue to pray together about being together on mission. Okay? So let's do that together. So on your phones or any device that you have, we want you to take some time and really think about how you want to respond. And then after you respond, then I want you to spend some time just praying. God, use me in these ways. Use me to advance the witness of the church. Use me to share the gospel with those around me. Use me to actively encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? So let's do that together, church. So once again, take some time to pray through, fill out the form, and then after you fill it out, spend some time in prayer. Just asking God to encourage you, asking God to bring about his convictions, asking God for help, because it's not about us saying that, okay, we're going to do this, but no. It's about us saying, God, we need you. Only you can accomplish your purposes through us. So we want to be dependent on you. We want to be praying to you. We want to be obedient to your word.